Good morning and welcome to this session. This session will be about managing updates coming from Microsoft, not only for Windows, but also for updates in general that is coming as a service, how we can handle this inside our organization. This session is not a deep technical session about how to deploy updates and go into the log files and troubleshoot stuff when things go wrong. This is more about strategy, how we can deploy these updates, when we should do it, how we should target our users and devices so it can be a success inside of our organization. So hopefully this is why you're here. And the reason we are calling this Cloud Updates is because the only reason that Microsoft is founding anything is with if the session contains something with the word cloud inside. So we had to put that inside. But basically, it's just updates coming from Microsoft. My name is Ronnie Petersen. I work as a consultant for a company called EG, based in Denmark. I'm also an enterprise mobility MVP for 9 years now. And I've been working with Panu for many years. So this is basically what I've done in the last 15, 20 years or so. My background is mainly on deployment, Windows imaging, all the way back from Ries, Ghost, Image, you know, all that stuff. If somebody is you, is coming from down that path also. I also run a user group with some of the other MVPs in Denmark called System Center User Group Denmark, where I tend to spend a lot of my time talking about these technologies as well. So this is a huge passion of mine, and hopefully we'll have some fun today. So you're more than welcome to contact me in any way that you prefer, or otherwise, please ask questions during the session. I really love questions. So if you have anything that you'd like me to talk about or something that you want to discuss, please raise your hand and we'll take it from there. So the agenda for today is like this. We'll talk a little bit about Windows as a service, just to set the baseline of what it is so everybody is on the same page, why Microsoft made the changes that they have done, and what it actually looks like. And then we'll talk what this session is mostly about, namely the update strategy and the deployment methods that we can use. Yesterday was Patch Tuesday, and it's not actually any Patch Tuesday, but actually Microsoft started to roll out the new update for downgrade or down-level OSs for Windows 7 and Windows 8.1, meaning that Windows 7 and 8.1 is now being updated in a very similar way that Windows 10. So I thought that this was a good place to start talking about this. So we'll get a lot into detail about how these updates are built, what they can contains, and how you can expect them to evolve over time, and what sizes you are planning to deal with. And then we'll talk a little bit about content and delivery, because with these updates coming out, we might have some challenges in our networks around, first of all, the packet sizes, but also the bandwidth out to our small offices, where we are now deploying many, many, many gigabytes of data to each client every year. So first of all, a marketing slide. What is Windows as a service? What is the strategy and goal? Well, basically, Microsoft wants everybody to be on the current release for a lot of reasons. If we look in the past, Windows 7, Windows 8, we had a lot of updates coming out. Right now we have like almost 300 updates for Windows 7, meaning that you can pick and choose what updates you want to install. This is a huge challenge when you need to test application. If you're developing new applications, that you have this fragmented platform where we don't know exactly what's out there. So this is one of the reasons. Also, we don't want to support multiple versions of the same operating system when we are developing new things. So it's basically all up to you to make it simple, to make it easy to test, and make it a lot cheaper to manage and administrate. So of course we also want to decrease the administrative overhead that we have by having all these updates. So this is the overall strategy and goal with this new update ring. So what is Windows as a Service? Well, basically Microsoft has changed everything about how they are updating and building Windows. In the past, we had like a new major build every 3 years or so. Now we are releasing, well, first they announced once every 4 months, three updates a year. Companies started to complain about that. And now they announced officially that they are down to six updates. No, not six updates. One update every 6 months. But if you look at the dates, the last update that came out was actually 8 months. And the next update coming out is not coming out this year. It's most likely going to be in March or maybe even April next year. So we are talking 6 to 8 months between every major update of Windows. And I think that's a good time frame, especially for enterprises, that they don't have to go out and deploy updates every 4, 5, 6 months. So I think this is a great idea. Microsoft is currently supporting two versions of the current branch build. We'll get into that in just a second. But this means that you can potentially skip a version if you want to, but it doesn't really give you a lot of time. So I really encourage you to stay current with the latest build as soon as it comes out. The deployment process hasn't changed a lot. You'll probably still have to build images in order to do a refresh scenario and bare metal deployments if you want to replace a hardware device. But when it comes to servicing and upgrading forward, you probably just want to do an in-place upgrade of that operating system, like a service pack. This can be done in multiple ways. It can be done using a service, just like any other updates using configuration manager, or you can use it like a task sequence. Later today, Panu will talk a lot about the differences between these two models and when you should pick the right solution for the right scenario, especially if you're using something like language packs, which I've heard is very popular here in Finland. You might want to go in and check this session because then you'll see some really important stuff. Microsoft has these rings coming out. I'll just finish the slide here. They have this Insider preview branch. How many of you are attending or part of the Microsoft Windows Insider program? A few of you, that's a good thing. I think that when Microsoft, when they talk to this slide, they actually say that you might want to have some of these machines inside your organizations. For most organizations, I disagree. I don't think that the Insider preview belongs in the production environment unless that you're developing your own applications and want to test those. The cost of supporting Insider preview builds on end-user desktops is simply too high, in my opinion. And the quality, especially on the fast ring, is not good enough for production. It is something where you can test new features and test to see if they are breaking your applications. If you are a large enterprise organization, and if you are developing your own applications, then maybe you will have a small subset of users in the slow ring in production, but it comes with a cost, and it's important that you understand that these users should be very IT skilled in order to accept that things are might not work as they expect them to do. Then we have the two major rings, basically current branch and current branch for business. The major difference between current branch and current branch for business is the date. It's the same bits, it's the same thing that we are rolling out. It's just something that Microsoft has said, now we have tested this on so many machines, in so many scenarios, that we now can say we think it's ready for business. But it's really all up to you. And you can build as many rings as you like inside of each of these current brands and current brands for businesses. So if you after 2 months say that, okay, we have actually tested and we are happy and the new features that we're getting is such a huge benefit, then you can of course just start to roll them out. This is just a baseline for how Microsoft is starting to market to go to market with these updates. Of course, some companies are also saying, let's just start by testing it here. Microsoft is promising that they will support at least 12 to 18 months in the current branch. So if you start here, you end up with 12 months, including testing and deployment before you have to move on to the next version. So I think that's a little bit too late to go into the game. So I think it's very important that you start here and you move as fast as your organization can possibly go. But you don't have to follow these guidelines 100%. Then we have something called LTSB version, a long-term service branch. This is another build of Windows, and I think it's a great build of Windows for specific scenarios. I don't have a single customer that is only running LTSB, but I know that in some industries like banking and military and stuff like that, it is popular to use these builds, but it does come with a cost. First of all, the good thing is that they are supported for many years. I think actually it's 10 years or so. But all the great stuff, you know, Internet Explorer replacement, the Edge browser is gone, the modern apps are gone, the Windows Store for Business is gone. But if you don't have internet access, of course, it might be a challenge to convince people why they should not go with this build. But it is something that is meant to support devices like ATM machines, nuclear plants, air traffic controls and stuff like that. Stuff where we don't have a user working on the device, but where you want to be very stable. If we look into the different updates that Microsoft are coming with, they have two kind of updates. We have quality updates and feature updates. Quality updates is basically updates that is fixing something on the operating system or updates that are patching security updates. Or patching. So this is making the operating system more stable. These updates are coming out every month on Patch Tuesday, and they are cumulative, meaning that what is coming out this month, next month it will be the same updates plus some more moving forward. So this update will actually be larger and larger and larger. And I'm assuming that a lot of you are running System Center Configuration Manager, since you are on the System Center track. So right now, we don't have support in Configuration Manager to just download the deltas. This is coming in 16.10, that will be released probably in November, where we'll have support for something called Express Updates. I'll get into detail about that in just a second. And then we have the feature updates, which is basically what we talked about before, the updates that are coming out every 6 months. So this is basically something that allows you to take a Windows 10 machine, put it away for 8 months, and take it up, boot it up, and you'll only need two updates to get current. One feature update and one quality update, because it's cumulative. So that's really, really great, and it'll make you get to current build very fast. So how do we do Windows as a service? Well, I've been a config manager MVP since 2008, and when I first attended the Microsoft MVP Summit, it was just after the release of Configuration Manager 2007. What we started to work on there was something called the app model, or the application that you know now in Configuration Manager. One of the major changes in Configuration Manager 2012 was that Microsoft wanted us to start to use user targeting instead of device targeting, because we were moving against a different world where people were working on different devices, multiple devices, different platforms, and that's why the app model was actually invented. If we look at our environment today, you probably have users that are working inside your organization on multiple devices, on different platforms, and all that stuff, and targeting users is a natural thing. But when it comes to patching, I still see a lot of organizations targeting devices. And the problem is that if you have a team that is managing patches for PCs, one for servers, one that's patching Office, one that's deciding when we are releasing new services in Azure and in SharePoint, you will have another kind of fragmentation inside your organization where you say, okay, I want to roll out this new update of Office. Who gets it? I give it to this guy and that guy, and they might be running on different versions of Windows. But what if that new Azure service is actually running the latest and greatest, or requires the latest version of Windows 10? Maybe it was a good idea to align these services. So what I'm trying to convince people to do is to make those rings aligned. So when I go in and say, Panu, he's my favorite test user, I will put him in my test collection. Then all his devices, his mobile phones, his PCs, also goes in to that test ring. So when I develop a new version of my PC, let's say today we are running PC version 1 with these sets of applications and these services. This is our happy world, everything is working great, and this is what our IT supports know to support. So now we are building the next generation. That might be something that we are developing every 6 months or so. So we decide, okay, we are going with these Azure features. We might want to enable stuff like conditional access for PCs. We might want to do some OneDrive for Business stuff. Everything requires a specific version of whatever Windows and Office and stuff like that. So we are now building that. So I'll deploy all that stuff at once to Panu and the test team. And when I'm happy with the result, I say, okay, now I lock this down, and then I move it on to the next ring. And this is actually my pre-production. And when I'm happy with the result in my pre-production, I move it on. And before I've even completed that deployment, we already started over with the next version of my PC concept model, or whatever you prefer to call it. But this is my basic approach when I want to deploy these updates. So I will include all the services, not only Windows updates. I will also let the users sign up themselves. There's nothing I like more in this world than happy users. So if you have users that really don't care about technology, they don't care about, you know, having the latest and greatest, don't put them in these rings. Just make sure that they are at the very last ring. But you also have users that are driven by technology, that are passionate about IT stuff, getting, you know, they are sitting at home on Thursday night and refreshing because they want the latest update for their iOS devices and watching all kind of keynotes like the rest of us, and they want the latest technology. Let them be in the pre-production. They might also be able to give you very good feedback. So how do we manage this? Well, first of all, I'm a huge fan of automation. So how you let the user sign up can be done using a lot of different services like Service Manager or maybe just adding users to an AD group or whatever. But the most important part is that you automate this process. Let's see how this can be done. Let's see if I can get my lab up and running. So what I have here is my Config Manager environment. Inside my Configuration Manager environment, I've created a few collections just to make this simple. So I have inside my user collection created a collection called All Pre-Production Users. I could have multiple rings in here, but it's just a demo scenario. So all the users that I add to this collection will automatically get new services. And their devices will automatically be added to a device collection called Pre-Production. So if I go in and see who is a member of this group, I can see that I already have 3 members in here. I can take some of my other users. Let's take Hans here, and I can make him a member of my pre-production users. And now he will get these updates. What will also happen is that if Hans has any primary devices, these devices will be added to this collection as well that I have down here, my pre-production collection. I'll just see what I have already added so I don't pick the same. I have 5, 6, and 11. So if I go into my devices here and find another one. I'll take number 7, and then I'll make Hans a primary user of that device. So here we go. How you do this in your organization and what you are measuring on here can be different. I have customers that are using custom CMDBs for this. They have everything registered in another system. Then we will just run the PowerShell script against that system. That's perfectly fine. But if you have that information inside of Configuration Manager, we might as well leverage the information from here. Then I have this very nice script that a friend of mine, Nikolai Andersen, who is a Swedish MVP working for Lumagate, wrote for me. I'm not a very very skilled PowerShell guy, so you know, the Swedish people can always be bragged with beers. So I just sent him some alcohol, and he'll write me some scripts. So that's how the deal works. But he wrote this script. As you can see, it's only 5-7 days ago since he gave me the latest version. I will send you the link, put it on my blog, on Twitter, and after this session, so you don't have to, if you want this, you can go and download it. But all I have to do is to run this script with a few parameters. I don't know if you can see this from the back of the room, but all I have to do is specify my site server, specify the user collection, and the device collection that I want these devices to go into. And then I can schedule this script. You can see it's already 3 added to the device or to the collection. If I run it again, hopefully it should give me 4. It does. So now this PC that Hans is working on has been added to that collection. So what happens after that? Well, I have a lot of collections that specifies when people will get what kind of updates. So if I go into my demo again, not this one, I'll go into my software updates collections. Here we go. You can see that I have in here, I have a Windows 7 pre-production. This is actually a collection that is limiting to all my Windows 7 clients. And I have included all my pre-production devices into that rule. That's all I'm doing. So when a machine has been added to a pre-production collection, it will automatically also be added to this collection, meaning that it will get the Windows 7 pre-production updates. I can do this for Office and for other Azure services, for Windows, and even for servers, if that's what I want. So hopefully this makes sense. Do you think this is a good idea, or do you think it's all out in the woods? Okay. Well, basically, this is what I really believe in. I'm actually implementing this right now at a very, very large customer in Denmark. And the reason we came up with this solution is that they are running a lot of Azure services, and we had 3 different environments. But as soon as you connect your environment to Azure, you run into problem if you have different environments, because you're not allowed to connect different Config Manager environments to the same tenant or to the same Office 365. You only have one. So we have to do some of our testing in production. And we need to align these services when we are releasing new stuff. So this is why we made this solution. Okay, let's go back to the slides. That was, here we go. I'm a little cold. I just came back from Microsoft Ignite. And, down in the south in the US, they have like 30 degrees outside within, what? No, okay, I thought you said something. The weather was very, very, very warm, and then we get into the air condition. So I've been cold since I get back, so that's why I'm sounding like this. It wasn't because I was partying all night, last night. So basically, this is what we end up with. We have you can have as many rings as you like, of course. This is just to make testing simple. So I have my test pilot program where I develop my new stuff. And when I'm happy with the result and it's working inside my little test environment or test users, I move it on to pre-production and then to production. If you want 10 rings, that's fine with me. But try to keep it as simple as you possibly can, because that's often something that makes life a little simpler. Here's another example where you have 1,500 clients with two scenarios where you just have, you know, two rings, or you can have four rings. In production, a lot of companies would like to split up production in multiple rings, not because they want to test it more, but because they want to save the bandwidth and maybe reduce the risk of having many support calls coming in at the same time. But if your pre-production pilot was good enough, you won't get any calls. Managing clients. Well, now we know what the backend looks like, but we also know to understand how it works on the client. If you're running Windows 10, hopefully you all are, if you go into Windows Updates, this is basically what you see. And you have this little checkbox down here in the bottom saying defer upgrades. Basically what this means is, will you run Windows in a current branch? Or if you check this one, you're running current branch for business. It's basically just a delay option. If you want to manage this using group policies, Microsoft has released in 1607, this screenshot is from 1607, a new feature where you can actually, instead of controlling if you want to defer or not to defer, you can actually say, after the release, how many months do I want the upgrades, meaning the feature updates? How long time do I want to wait for the other updates to come out? I also have an option here to pull the handbrake and say, I want to pause both update and upgrades on these devices. So if you are running Windows 10 in 1607, you actually have a handbrake now, or you have a granular control. In previous version of Windows, it was just the same option as you had inside the operating system. If we inventory this, I'll get back to that in just a second, we get some different options. So before we start to do this, we need to know what we have and what version we have. If we are running current branch for business, it's called inside of Configuration Manager, Operating System Readiness Branch. And if you're running current branch, the value is 0, current branch for business 1, and LTSB is 2. But this has nothing to do with what version of our operating system we are running. This is just something that is specifying if this client, for some reason, connected to Microsoft Update, what update would I receive? So if the users is sitting at home and they are running Windows Update outside and they push the button, say, let me check directly with Microsoft and stuff like that, and you haven't deferred anything, you might get these updates. But if you are running WSUS, if you are running Config Manager, these settings are completely ignored because it's all what you have released to that device. But we also need to identify the operating system build, and that's actually what we are running right now. So that's what we need in our inventory so we can create reports, queries, and Power BIs. Let us take a look at how this actually works. It's actually pretty simple. So if I go into my demo environment again, let's take one of my machines here, if I can find one. I have this one, machine number 6. If I go in and take properties for that machine inside of Configuration Manager and look at the hardware inventory, it's actually a heartbeat discovery that is sending in this information. You can see, I know this is very small in the front, but it is a DPI resolution, but I'll read it up to you. It says, do not defer upgrades, meaning that the checkbox you saw before was not checked. Okay, so let's go into that client to see if that is really the case. So I go in, select that client. It is here. I'll type in my super secret password. Here we go. Like I said, last night was Patch Tuesday. So when I turned on my machine this morning, just to verify that everything was worked, I just found out that all my machines last night while I was sleeping, decided to reboot. Well, my entire lab is actually set up to pull down the updates within a few hours after they have been released. So this is my Windows 7. If I click Start, Settings. This is really annoying when I just rebooted. I'll do it. We'll get there. Start, Settings. I need to maximize this. Update. And Advanced. Here you can see that defer updates has not been checked. So if I check this one and then close it again, go into my config manager. Let me see if I can get this. Configuration manager. And then kick off the heartbeat scheduler. Here we go. Run. Then I can go back to my config manager console. Let me see if I can find that. Here we go. Close this one. This is. I can't refresh it. I have to reopen it. And if my inventory has been delivered, this should have changed to do not defer upgrade. Didn't I check it? I actually managed to be fast then. I don't know why this is not happening. It might have something to do with the restart that happened this morning. Normally what this will do is that it will change that update, and it's actually doing this very fast as soon as I did. No, yeah, but never mind. You know what this is. I have created a few collections here that is actually using this information. As you can see, I have Windows 10 versions here that is running current branch for business and LTSB. But what I would like you to notice here is that, as you can see, my limiting connections, I have used Windows 10 on all my devices except for the current branch, because the current branch value of 1 is actually a default value. So if you go in and say, if you have this value and it's equal 1, then you'll end up in this collection. Then you will actually also get Windows Server 2008 R2 devices, or even other devices that don't have this ring. So it's very important that you now understand that the default value is current branch, also for systems that are not even supporting this service model yet. So what does this mean? Well, this probably means that you can expect this to be an updated thing. Now we know that Windows 7 is coming out with a new update form, so maybe they will start to use the same inventory. So that's just why I wanted to show you that right there. And then I have the Windows versions, which is actually the right and current version that these operating systems are running. I have disabled automatic upgrade in my environment, otherwise I would only have 16.07 up versions right now. So just in order to keep this demo running, I have disabled the automatic upgrade. Okay, I'm sorry for the demo not to work. This is actually the first time this one hasn't worked, so I'll go home to my hotel and find out why tonight. Back to the slides. Demo. So, Windows 7. How much time do we have? Perfect. How many of you are still running either Windows 7 or Windows 8 or 8.1? All of you, more or less. And we probably will for another many, many years. So it's important that we continue to support these upgrades and updates. This is... Well, let me put it this way. I really love the 300 updates because I'm a consultant paid by the hour. And this is how I make my money, sitting out at customers and running Windows updates on individual machines. No, this is really, really annoying and boring. And a lot of people have asked me, why is Microsoft not just releasing a new service pack that would include all these updates? The answer is actually both frustrating but also very simple and logical. If Microsoft should release a new service pack, they would be required to extend the support for Windows 7 because it's considered a new build of Windows. So that's why they come up with update roll-ups, convenient update, and now they are moving into this new servicing model where they are trying to do stuff more easily. So you will still have a lot of these updates moving forward, but it will be less and less and less. And now I'll try to explain how the updates will work. So this is a busy slide, and hopefully you can also see it from the behind. But you have a red numbers up here representing 9, 10, and 11. Those are months, so it's September, October, November, okay? Then you see some letters, B/C, or whatever that thing is in English. September was last month. Microsoft released some security updates. KB1, KB2, KB3 represents security updates. So this is why they have done this in the past until last night. They also, and they did that since May this year, released a non-security roll-up package that contains all the non-security updates. That is already started and will start to grow on moving forward, or actually has done since May. So what will happen, or actually what happened last night, is that Microsoft is releasing updates in a new way. So if you only want the security updates, we have some good news. Microsoft will release a new bundle of security updates every month. So you cannot go in and say, I want number 1, 2, and skip number 3, but you can skip a month if you don't want that. It's only containing security updates, and a new one is coming out every month. So if you only want security updates, you will still, after 12 months, have 12 updates that you need to deploy every time. Make sense? Oh, a little bit. Anyone's falling asleep? Oh, that's good. What about non-security updates? Well, Microsoft is also rolling out an update that will contain cumulative updates that are non-security updates, including the security updates. So it's including the non-security updates from the previous month and the security updates from the current month. If we move into November, you can see that this is growing pretty fast because it's picking up not only what was released last month, but also this security update, so it will grow cumulative. So you have to choose what you want to deploy. Either you just want the security updates, or you want everything. The B are released on Patch Tuesday. Microsoft is now announcing something new called the third Tuesday, or the Tuesday after Patch Tuesday, where they will release a preview update for the next month. This is the C version. So this is actually exactly the same as the B version containing everything, including the non-security update for next month. So you have a chance to test. This is a way to start testing these new feature updates for Windows 7 on a small set of machines before you move it into production the month after. Because if you only want to deploy the cumulative updates, including the security updates, then let's face it, that doesn't leave you a lot of time to test it. And the things that you really need to test is most likely going to be the feature updates. So if you want to test this and roll out the security updates on day 0, the month after, this is probably something that you should look into. But otherwise, these are the three models that you have to work with. There's a little catch. These two updates here, this one and this one, is only available through WSUS or as a direct download from the Microsoft Update Catalog, meaning that home users is not allowed to get these updates. Oh, well, it's only the security updates, of course. They need to do the cumulative update. So it's only for enterprises. I'm a little bit insecure because I haven't had the time to test this yet. It was released last night, and I've asked different people, and they couldn't give me a quite clear answer on this, so I need to go back and test it. It says in the documentation of this that it's only for enterprise. I'm not sure if that means it's only for the enterprise version of Windows, or it means that it can be managed by enterprises by using WSOS. Hopefully it's the last one. Otherwise, people running Windows 7 Professional do not have many options. But if you're running Home and all that stuff, you are not allowed to only pick this one. The only option you have is the cumulative update. So as you can imagine, this will start to grow. They are starting now, and then they will pick up everything moving forward. But they will also go back and take some of the 250-something updates and slowly put them in to this method. So if they are adding, let's say, 5 new updates, then they might add additional 3 updates to that package that's actually old version of updates. So the numbers of updates will slowly grow. The goal is, I have heard, is somewhere between 12 and 18 months where they will expect to have picked up the gap between what's available today and have everything into this model. So meaning in just 18 months you can run Windows Update on a Windows 7 machine and only need one update. That will be very cool, but hopefully none of you will ever experience that because you have been off Windows 7 for a long time at that period. But it's a great thing, and I think it's good that we are moving in this direction. How much time do I have? A lot of time. So, if you go into the Microsoft Update catalog, this is what you will see. I will hurry up on this. You'll have security update only. You'll have the monthly update roll-up, and you'll have the preview update, which I just explained before. For now, Internet Explorer and .NET Framework updates are not included. Something is coming out with Windows 8.1, but for Windows 7, they are looking into it. They are promising that it will come at some point, but it's not there today. Windows Internet Explorer 11, I just want to point that out. It will not upgrade to Internet Explorer 11. It will automatically update Windows Internet Explorer 11 if it's already on the box. So if you're running a previous version of Internet Explorer, whatever, on your Windows 7 clients, no, you will not get upgraded automatically. Content and delivery optimization. With these updates and the way they will grow, both for Windows 7, 8.1 and Windows 10, we might have a network challenge that we need to figure out how to solve. The upgrade coming out for Windows 10 is at this point scheduled to be around 3.5 gigabyte in size. Microsoft is working hard to get that number down, but don't expect it to be like 50%. They might get it down below 3 gigabytes or maybe 2.5 or something like that, but I don't think that you'll see anything dramatic going in that direction. They are probably going to offer a lot of new technology around delivery optimization. If we look at the quality updates or the updates that are cumulative that we just looked at also at Windows 7, as you can see, they will grow over time. So if you skip an upgrade, this type of updates will just be larger and larger and larger every month. On a 2-year period, in average, if you, no matter exactly, it doesn't really matter what method you're using, you will end up by deploying in average 1 gigabyte of data to each device every month. So you have 10,000 devices, well, it's 10,000 gigabytes that you need to roll out over the wire every month. For some companies, especially if you are in a school system or something like that, where you maybe have 15,000 devices all connected to Wi-Fi or wireless access hotspot, I have seen this to be extremely large problem. We actually deployed a school with Windows 8, and we had to wait for the summer holiday a year later to go on Windows 8.1 because it will take us 3 months to get the updates out to all the students if we have to do it over the Wi-Fi network. It was not a very high quality network, I had to admit that, but I'm thinking that some of you guys might have similar changes or challenges that you need to face. So what is the solution for this? We have different options. How many of you have heard of something called Express Updates? A few of you. This is something that you should learn and understand because it's a great, great, great feature that Microsoft is building. Basically, it means that if you are downloading an update on month one, and the month after that, they are releasing a new cumulative update. Of course, you've already downloaded some of these hotfixes, so you need only to download the differences. That's the Express update. As of today, Express updates are supported if you run directly using Microsoft Updates, but also if you're using WSUS, but you have to enable a little check mark inside of WSUS. If we have time, I can show you where the check mark is. It's very simple, just one check mark. So what is the cost? The cost is it requires a lot of disk space on the WSUS server. But probably that's a lot cheaper compared to all the network savings, the benefits that you will get by enabling this feature. If you are running in a System Center Configuration Manager environment, there's absolutely no reason to go home and check this checkbox because you'll only get the cost, you won't get any benefits. I have 3 minutes left. But it will be supported. I saw a tweet a few days ago from David James, our lead developer at Microsoft in Configuration Manager, and he actually wrote that this Express updates will be supported in the release coming out called 16.10, which will probably be released to you guys in November. So after that has been released, you can go in and enable this feature. So now Config Manager actually supports delivering content using Express updates. So I think this is really, really great. I want to do a demo of that. I think I'll skip it because I also want to talk a little bit about branch cache. Is anybody here running or using branch cache optimizations? A few of you, that's good to see. I don't say that branch cache is the solution for everybody, but I would say that a lot of companies can really, really benefit from this. The only problem is that it's really, really hard to monitor and see the benefit that you actually get in the products that we have available today. But it's super, super, super simple to enable. Basically, it's just one check mark on your distribution point, and then it will do all the magic works in the background. And if you go in on your deployments and say, allow clients to share content, this is the feature that you're using. And then you're sitting back and say, okay, what's happened? I can't see anything. In the current technical preview, you have this view where you can actually see where the clients are downloading the content from. So how much content are being downloaded from DPs and how much content are being downloaded from peers. It's a very, very cool feature that will justify, and you can go back to your boss and say, this is why we need to enable branch distributions or branch cache. Because when you move out to the edge, where you don't have any DPs and stuff like that, you most likely have enough bandwidth. But the bandwidth into the distribution point is often a big problem. So by that, I think my time is over. If you want to look at this today, the Two Pint Software is a Swedish company that actually made a great, great, great startup solution where you can go home and see some of the things in a dashboard where you can, and also how to enable this stuff. They really make great free solutions. So by that, I think my time is up. So with that, hopefully you enjoyed the session, and hopefully I started some ideas and gave you some inspiration. I don't know how they provide feedback, Panu. Do they have some kind of a... Okay, there's a mobile app. Of course, there's an app for that. So by that, thank you.